You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I am your host, Salisha Thomas, and today I have got a pure ray of light, of sunshine as my guest today. If you were to draw a picture of what God's love, God's light looks like, it is who I'm bringing on today. We have an actress who made her Broadway debut in Amelie, jumped in the original cast of Amelie, jumped on over to Book of Mormon, and is now slaying in Tina on Broadway, and also is the co-creator of Bold. Welcome, Destiny Rae!
Oh, that is just such a sweet introduction. I'm so honored.
Girl, I'm truly honored to know you. Like, I feel like we met before either of us were on Broadway.
Yeah.
Like, when was that?
It was the Dream Girls audition.
Oh.
For North Shore.
How do you remember that?
Yeah.
How do you remember that?
No. Well, okay. So, one, like, I remember, I'm pretty good with people, like, remembering the essence of a person and when I've met them. But two, that was one of those, like, Black women are incredible. Take a note that this is your heart comes alive in these settings, you know? Oh. And that yes. was those moments. I remember Felicia Boswell and Rebecca Covington. And I don't think Rebecca was married yet. And like,
no.
We sat after the audition for a solid hour just talking about relationships.
I do remember that. Was that when did we go to a coffee shop at some time, or was that a different?
That might have been a different one. I'm not sure though. I wouldn't.
Like literally. What did you did you already create Bold at that time, or did that come later?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. We had had our first brunch that May, and I think that production happened in like June, or actually, no. We had our brunch, and I think I left the next day for North Shore.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is so freaking bomb. Like, y'all, if you don't know, and you can tell us about it, Destiny, like,
totally.
Bold is this, it's this beautiful, like, so many Black powerhouses, this network. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, totally. So I moved to the city to work for a nonprofit, doing leadership development and helping people transition from college to moving to a big city. And I quickly realized that I was more interested and really only interested in Black women, particularly the Black women that I was doing life with, because I had been giving so many resources through my org to navigate my identity and as an entrepreneur, as an artist, as a Black woman. And I wanted to make those available to other people and create community. And so I quickly met Tia DeShazer at a beautiful audition, and she had the same passion and a similar background as me. And so we created Bold because we both believe that Black women change the world. We are the people who change the world.
Like, it has grown so much since that. It's huge. Yeah. It's huge.
It's crazy. It's crazy to see how, like, you know, a movement launches and people come on because they believe in it too.
Such a beautiful, like, when Black women can get together and lift each other up and support each other, it is a magical, it is, there's nothing like it.
There isn't. There actually isn't.
I remember I went to a Lion King audition like within a year or two ago, and it was like, the few of us that were at the end of it, there was like 6 to 10 of us left. Yeah. And it was so encouraging. There was no competition. It was no like, I'm going to get, nope. It was all like, girl, you look great in that mask. Oh, yes, you are slaying this. I heard your audition. You sounded bomb. Like, it was just love. And I feel like that is what you
auditioned. That's how real that experience was. Like, I heard about
not in my head
how special that audition was.
Just so, like, that is like the kind of atmosphere that you cultivate, and and you're so good at bringing people together, Destiny, which is why I'm just so like, I'm so excited to have you on and talk to you, because you're so special. You really are so special.
Thanks. I feel the same about you. So I'm so excited for this podcast.
So one of the things that I've thought about is like in general in the past, and like when I think about you, is like how, and I just mentioned this a little bit, how we knew each other before we'd been on Broadway.
Yeah.
And to see you launch into your first show, I was like, wow, original Broadway cast.
Yeah.
Wow. Like,
crazy.
How was that?
Wild, actually. Because I don't know, I'm very creative, but I have the strategic part of myself that is very real and very alive. And I remember looking at what was coming up, what was currently playing, which this is something that I still do to help me. And you recognize like, oh, there are only a certain amount of shows that I could easily pop into because you have to be a Black woman to be in it. Mm-hmm. And then there are a couple of shows that, like, sometimes you could be Black, sometimes you can't. You never know what they're going to do.
Right.
A couple of those. And then that's it. And it helps me to be like, sis, become. Like, there's actually not work for you right now. So how can you channel that energy to do something else? So that's where I was in that winter of, I guess it was 2016.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got the appointment and I was like, huh. And I had gone in for Sam Pinkleton for A Great Comet the day before. And then I came in for Amelie and I was like, I don't see at all how I fit into this show, but the material is so fun and I love this movie. So let's do it. And I kept getting appointments.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, cool. Let's keep going, you know? And the atmosphere that Pam McKinnon and Sam Pinkleton created and the whole team was just so welcoming and so like, let's try things. And that's what the entire experience was like. I popped in and, you know, I swung the show and I mean, I cried every day. And I remember them being like, it really isn't that sad. It's not a sad story. I identify with this so much, you know. And I'm just so happy to be here, you know. And it changed my life. It really did. And I'm grateful for it. And it is such a testament of what is for you is sometimes beyond what you can even see, you know, because I had done all these calculations and never would imagine that this new show would come up and go to Broadway and I would be a part of it.
Literally dreams, like dreams coming true. Yeah. It's so such a beautiful thing to like to experience. And it's also a beautiful thing to witness. So I'm like so excited. And okay, I'm just curious, like, because this is just me. I'm like, what is happening with the Tony Awards right now?
I wish I knew.
Wait, what? Like, you don't know?
I really wish I knew.
So I thought they were happening in October. No?
I don't know.
Because I felt like if
they... That they made. You know, but everything has been so, like, no one knows anything, you know, so there are definitely, you know, initiatives that are happening. And I think the hope from everyone is that they will happen. But we are living in a time where one day something could change and, you know.
Okay. Dang it. I was like, if anybody knows, it's going to be somebody from Tina.
I wish. And our producers are doing such a great job of keeping us in the loop and making sure that we have every information that we need, all the information that we need. But yeah, I don't know anything about the Tonys.
Okay. All right. So I don't feel totally like left out, because when we're in a Broadway show, being backstage, you hear people talking. You know what's going on, because it's everyone's talking about, you know, whispering about whatever. And now it's like we're all in our own home, yes, scattered. It's like, what's going on?
Totally.
You know?
I love you. Yeah.
Okay. Don't well,
it's sad.
I know. I thought, like, even if it's happening remotely. But okay, I do want to talk about Tina and how it is for you as a Black woman in a show with other Black women.
Yeah.
How is it, like, how in particular, like, how do they treat, like, how is it in the hair department?
Yeah.
Like, let's start there.
Absolutely. So, well, one great thing is that our head supervisor is Black. So Gio, who has worked with so many incredible people, both TV, film, and theater. It's just, it's amazing that he's Black, you know? And so he knows exactly what's going on. He knows how to make sure our wig, he knows that, you know, somebody might come in with a protective style. So you need to figure out what their wig prep is. And like, you know, like.
And he understands that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and his team is not all Black. But like, we have people like Monique who, if you don't follow Snatching Wigs, go follow Snatching Wigs.
She's
incredible in our wig room. And it's so great to have her there as an advocate, because Gio, of course, is the supervisor. So he's everywhere. And then you have people that are super knowledgeable. I'm dropping last names, but like Craig, who is the assistant supervisor. You have a team of people that Gio is over, that he is making sure that they have the knowledge necessary to make sure
good.
That we're good. But of course, there's still predominantly white folk who don't have a background in taking care of my hair,
yeah,
or even hair that is the type that is a wigs that are based off of Black hair. And so there is definitely a learning curve.
Interesting.
And I'm grateful to have had conversations with people in our wig room in this time, that they have messaged me and said, hey, I'm going to school for this. What are things that I need to know? I'm aware that I miss this, and it's important if I'm going to be a part of the show. So I'm looking forward to going back with everybody having gone back to the drawing board and like really thought about what they need to show up there for Black.
I think that's kind of encouraging to hear that was a part of the conversation before this pandemic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I've seen you in the show. You effing slay the heck out of. Okay. I was at one of those auditions for them iCats. And it was so hard. I almost passed out. I'm like, and I feel like when it comes to cardio, I'm like, I'm unstoppable. Yes. That is how I feel. I was dead by the end of that dance. You go on stage and you make it look like it's just breathing for you, Destiny.
Yeah.
It truly looks so easy for you. And I'm like, I know that's not easy. But like, you're flicking your hair, you're doing all these things. Like, how are your wigs staying on?
More,
does it feel to you healthy? Like just what is your experience with that?
So I know I am a hard dancer. So yes, I remember you are. My first professional gig doing Hairspray at Theater Under the Stars. And I am just blanking on names, but who is our hair designer? John, can't think of his name.
It's okay.
Award-winning, incredible, original wigs from Hairspray. And he was like, sis, you can't stop the beat. You need to bring it down a little bit, because your wig has to stay on. Like, you can't dance your wig off. And I was young and like, oh, okay, you know, like, you know, you only are thinking about yourself and like hitting the beat and like, there's a bigger picture. And so, you know, if he has pinned your wig in to the max and he knows the show, you might need to make some adjustments. So I say that because I have learned that over, you know, the course of time and showing up in shows. And I'm grateful, like, obviously, we don't have 20-pound wigs on our heads for this show. They're pretty, yeah, like, you know, a little bob, a little, you know, so I'm not doing anything crazy. But I had moments where I did dance a wig off, you know.
And
So the thing with my hair, too, is, like, I have baby hair for days before my, like, my wig prep starts. And so what happens a lot for me is the pins don't have enough to grasp onto in the front. And so I still haven't quite figured out how to get what I need to make sure she's laid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, like, what this is all, like, to me, this is even one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast is,
yeah,
there's so much that I don't know about hair. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I love it. I love talking about it and learning about it.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. And literally talking to everybody, I'm like, learning so much. I'm like, girl, we are still young. Can you imagine if we figure it out, like, figure all of the hair things out, the Broadway wig things out, everything, like.
So we just do our best because there's so many things that you don't even think of.
Especially
as a performer going into a show. I have been in shows where I, like, for Amelie, I wore my own hair. So I didn't think about 8 shows a week and I swung. So I wasn't always on. So, you know, that is a different conversation. How to take care of your hair, your own hair, 8 shows a week. And
right,
when I went into Mormon, I started wearing my own hair and then they wigged me. And so when I started, it was a whole nother, like, okay, I got to get used to my hair because I wear extensions a lot. I do, you know, like,
yeah.
And then
what was some of that prep for that?
Yeah. So when I was wearing my own hair, I obviously was like, okay, I have to get a fresh cut for this, you know? And I'm a huge, like, I learned how to do a master wash and go from hair rules that, like, has lasted.
What's hair rules?
So hair rules is a salon owned by Dickie. And they have an LA, they have an LA boutique too, but it is a high end natural hair salon on 54th and 9th.
Oh.
And yeah. Yeah. So, I went there and got my first ever, like, natural hair salon experience from there. And it was life changing to go into a salon and you're hearing Jasmine Fire and, like, Jasmine Sullivan, and there's all these Black women in there getting their hair done and it's curly, and it's just, it was life changing for me. But they taught me how to do a wash and go, and I had never known how to do one.
Cool.
And so that's what I would do for Mormon. I would, twice a week, I would get in the shower, I would shampoo, I would lather with so much water. I would condition, and I do everything in the shower. So I would take my holding gel. I either use theirs or I use Eco Styler, and I would just comb it through my hair and come out, shake, and go on with my day. And that's what I did for Mormon. I would sometimes use a diffuser, sometimes sit under the dryer. But if I had the day, I would let it air dry.
We're going to cut for a short ad break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
My question then is for Amelie,
yeah,
as a swing, not knowing when you were going to go on,
I know.
How do you freaking, like...
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So our hair designer for Amelie was Chuck, who is a master.
What's Chuck's last name? Because Chuck is everywhere. Chuck is our hair guy at Beautiful.
I don't be knowing the last name.
He's going to be mad if he hears it. I don't know why he would listen to this. But
right. I can remember at Essence, honey, but that name.
Chuck is everywhere. Chuck does everybody's
everywhere. And he saved my life, actually. That's another story. So for Amelie, we came up with one style for everybody that I covered, which was like basically a high bun. One of the other roles, I would wear two buns, but it was pretty simple, nothing crazy.
You didn't have to like do 3 days of prep.
No. That show was very simple, and like everything was like, how can we make this organic and raw, you know? So like nothing was over the top. Pippa was the only person with a wig in the show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a little bit about like, and yeah, just your hair journey and where you started, where you are now, how you feel, like, how do you feel about all the things, like all of the things, wigs, braids, your own texture, whatever you want to say.
Totally. So I grew up getting perms from a young age, and my mom does hair. She does braids. So she would braid everybody in the community's hair, including mine. So that's what I wore for most of my life. I was always in braids. And then of course I hit like high school, and I was like, I should also preface it by saying I'm from Texas, and down south the weave game is a different thing. And so I was like, once I hit high school, I was like, give me a sew-in. So I got a sew-in, and by the time I got to college, it had like gone from like a sew-in that was like to my shoulders to being down my butt.
Of course, that's awesome.
Yeah. So me and my best friend from high school went to college together, and she was natural. She didn't perm her hair, and she naturally had very, very long hair. We get to college, and I went to college right outside of Houston, and it's a totally different climate. It is humid. Yeah. And both of us were like, what is happening? Like, you have to have a perm here. Like, something's got to give. So I started perming my hair, and slowly the natural movement started happening. And I was interested in it, one, because it cost a lot to drive home, get my hair done, and come back.
Yeah.
And I was wearing sew-in. So it was like, you might as well go natural. Like, why perm it? So coincidentally, it aligned when I did the Colored Museum in college, my junior year, which I did not realize would take me on such a journey of discovering my identity as a Black woman, specifically because I had grew up in a predominantly white town. I was the only Black girl in my musical theater program. So I didn't have spaces that educated me on or pushed me to discover my identity through my art. So I had, of course, grew up with a Black mama, and like, so I knew, but like, I had never experienced it coming alive through the vehicle in which I'm most passionate about. So doing this show and just going through George C. Wolfe's incredible work, I discovered so much about me, and I was like, I'm going to actually wear my natural hair now. Okay. And I remember my mom being like, what is happening? What are you doing?
My mom still says that sometimes,
you know,
like, what are you doing?
So California. I went home after that show closed, and I actually watched The Secret Life of Bees and saw Alicia Keys' hair. And I told my mom, bring me some scissors. I want to cut my hair. And I cut off all the permed ends.
By yourself?
By myself. Mm-hmm. Now, let me preface this by saying my mom does hair. So I knew that if I cut it, she could sew me up and I'd be in a weave and like be okay. But then I transitioned to like not wearing straight weave at all. It was always curly because I was like, I want something similar to.
Yeah.
And back then, like, I was always on a, like, Shea Butter, Cantu was out, just, like, trying to figure it out. And my mom was like, you know, in the 70s, I would do, you know, like, trying to, my mom still swears by Jared Carl juice. So, like, she was like, you know, like, get the spray they use when they have Jared Girl, you know.
So, Jared Carl juice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I started wearing my natural hair. And, yeah, by the time I was a senior in high school and I did my showcase, I was rocking my little fro. And that was what I did. And it's funny, I haven't really talked about it now looking back. I'm like, I don't know what shifted. I think a lot of like, I went through this, like, I don't care what people think phase. And like, I want to wake up and put on what makes me feel good. And I think because I had that, I was in a space where I had that freedom. I let go of a lot of stuff. I was going to pledge. I let that go. My idea of who I was going to be with changed. Like, because I think those things were making me feel like I had to uphold to some sort of beauty standard. Mm. And so I just was like, I'm going to be free. And that's what I did. And ever since, I've been rocking my natural hair ever since. And I actually just journeyed back into weaves when I booked Mormon. I was like, I've got to figure out like how to do this. So I started playing with clip-ins first.
Yeah.
And
yes, I've definitely done those.
You know, which I love because
curly hair clip-ins?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like them?
Yes,
I've not tried any.
Oh,
I've not tried curly hair clip-ins.
Oh, I love them. They were a game changer for me.
Really?
Because I feel like my hair's been in an awkward length for a long time. And I was just like, I don't like this length. And I went to the store and got some curly hair clip-ins. And
I want to say that, like, okay, so I'm in, like, right now, I'm in my own, in a natural hair, like, this is what I want to do, all these things. Oh, but you better believe I definitely still have a bucket of wigs in my closet ready to go just in case.
I love that. I've always admired that.
I think
it's really different to get to wigs.
Yeah. Like, as Black women, we have any race can have the option and like the freedom, but like, I feel like we're so versatile. Like,
we are.
And depending on what industry you're in, what part of the country you're in, it's different. Like, when I'm out in California, having straight hair is more like, okay, this is like, a lot of Black people have straight hair out there. Yeah. When I come to New York, it's like, it's way cooler to have curly hair. It's like,
yeah,
sometimes you just need to rock the freaking weave. Sometimes you just need to put on the wig after the show instead of a baseball cap. Like, you know, like, so when you are going on an audition, I know it's been a while because we're in this pandemic right now.
Yeah.
What is your go-to, and it might be different per show, but like, what is your go-to for your hair? Like, do you throw on a wig? Do you like put your natural hair in a bun? Like, what does Destiny do?
Yeah. Well, my go-to is typically like, I'll do a wash and go and put clip-ins in. That's like my go-to. Because it's so easy and like, or actually, this is a whole nother conversation because I was not prepared for 8-show-a-week hair where you're always in prep. So you have to fit, like, because I didn't wear wigs. So I was like, whoa. Anyway, clip-ins typically are my go-to. I use Zuri's, Zurich.
Yeah,
Zuri. Start with a Z. Zuri Natural Star clip-ins that you can get from the beauty supply store. But I also have some that I ordered from another company. I'll have to remember what they're called, but like, they're on Instagram.
Okay.
And so clip-ins. And then So that's what I typically do. I will say, though, once I started Tina, I got a wig made by Monique Snatching Wigs, who's nice. In our company. And I tried it for an audition and I was like, this might be the way because right. it's great. It's easy. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to do anything to my hair.
Yeah, and nothing. I love yeah. a wig. I'm honestly like, I mean, I've been trying to wear my natural hair out as much as possible lately.
Yeah.
But there is some part of me that is, especially if I want to wear my hair straight instead of straightening yeah. my hair these days. Throwing on a straight hair wig feels such like a good compromise. Like you have the look,
yeah.
no heat. Like, right. so I'm still trying to.
I've never straightened my hair on my own. Like since, I don't know, maybe college. Like I just don't wear my hair straight unless I go to the salon and they straighten it to cut it.
Yeah.
So I got a straight hair wig made during Tina and I was like, oh, this is a game changer because now I can have this look and it's no work at all.
And no work.
No one knows.
And then you can take it off at the end of the day and be like, boop!
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll be right back right after the break.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I will say that I did have an audition. I took an audition class, or like actually a TV film class, mm-hmm. and it was a game changer for me. I'm not going to say her name just in case if I'm about to get her in trouble, but the casting director who taught the class was amazing. And I say she's amazing because she was so real and transparent with me. And I, one of my classes that I had with her, I came in with my like straight hair, wig, bob. It was like totally laid. I was super glamorous because I was going to a meeting after the class.
Yeah.
And I felt like a million and 10 bucks. And I went up to the front of the class to present. And she was like, stop, stop, stop. You're not yourself.
Mm.
I was like, what? What? She's like, I think it's your hair. I think your hair is messing you up. I'm like, And it was kind of, it caught me off guard. Like,
yeah.
Wait, what? And I told her, I was like, I want you to tell me everything that you're thinking right now because
wow.
I'm giving you permission to tell me because no one else has ever said anything
totally.
About like, especially on that side of the table. So that is on me. Like I absolutely let her have the floor. And she yeah. said, your hair, like the hair that you have on, it looks great, but your personality is different and it's not like conducive to the scene.
Yeah.
And so I asked her, tell me more. And she said that if she was casting and if she has two actors that are both equally talented, that she likes both, and she knows that one is wearing a wig and the other one is not, and she knows that they might, she said, and this is why I'm not going to say her name because I know she might get in trouble for this. She said, I'm going to go with the person who I know what their hair looks like just in case, because if I cast the person with the wig and I don't know what's underneath, it's a conversation that I don't want to have because I don't want to get in trouble.
Wow. That is so deep.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, no one has ever had the freaking balls to say that.
Right.
And for the first time ever, I was like, I need to figure out what is underneath my own wig, because just in case if I'm in that situation where I'm like, I might book this TV show, but they have no idea what my hair looks like. It's different for musical theater because we're most of the time in wigs, eight times a week. And if we're not, we can negotiate it. You know, but for TV, commercials, film, it's a little bit different. And that's a world that I am not as familiar with. Totally. And so I was so open to like hearing her say this and letting her know that I am not offended because I want to know.
Yeah. It's just crazy because it's like, that is something that we as Black women do struggle with in audition settings.
Yeah.
And knowing how much work it takes to put into our hair. And we want to show up for the audition, right? So if I have 3 hours in the morning, I would rather work on those sides than to be in the shower trying to get my hair together so that it might look like what you need it to look like, you know? Right. So it's like, it's such a thing for us. And I'm glad she said it because it does confirm that like our hair does matter in that room as much as like, as much as no one ever talks about it on that side of the table,
right?
You are looking at our hair. And the truth is you don't know what's going on. I might have a hair condition. I might have alopecia.
Yeah.
And so this is what I'm wearing because it makes me feel good, you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
So it is problematic, like that mindset, because you don't know what I have going on under here. And you don't know what I have going on under here that may keep me from doing the work to show up just as good as the girl with the natural hair.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes,
but
absolutely.
At the same time, it is something that like we wrestle with. And I do want to be comfortable with both what's under here and just letting you have that. And I want to be comfortable with my purple wig, if that's what I have on. You know?
Yes, absolutely. You know? So,
it's a both and. Like, that's the work that I'm doing. But I also need you as a casting director to do the historical work to understand why a Black woman might be wearing a wig.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's not always because I want to become the character that I think this person is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it has
so much
to do with that. You know?
Right. Absolutely. And for me, sometimes it is just convenience. Like,
yes.
That is the biggest thing for me is like leaving Beautiful, I was like a baseball hat or a wig. Like doing my own hair after a show. I'm like,
oh,
man,
oh my God.
I'll be here next
I'm not taking this prep down.
30 minutes. Like, yes. An extra
that
30 minutes.
That was huge for me because so I went into Mormon, which has problematic hair stuff. I'm not going to lie. Like the concept around like Nabalungi having a certain texture hair and everybody else not having that type of hair. And she's supposed to be the most beautiful. So her, it's a whole conversation of its own. And when I went into Beautiful, I wore my own hair. Now I have like a 4A, 4B hair, strands of 3C sometimes. And so when I went in, the note was my hair looked too much like Nabalungi's. So I needed a wig. And so I then had to go into getting wig prepped every day. So one, like that is so problematic that it's not thought of. It's just kind of how the way the show flows, but how that is internalized as Black women that are a part of the show.
Yeah.
But because no one is Black on the team, no one's thinking about how that may be internalized.
Ooh,
and how the next person to replace me, you're like, oh yeah, you can wear your own hair. You know, like that is problematic, you know?
I feel like say the dang thing, Destiny. Like,
you know,
that's a real thing.
Yeah. So that's one conversation. But the other thing was once I went into wearing wigs, I was like, oh, how do people do this? If you have 8 shows a week and you always have to be in wig every night, I'm not taking this out. I'm not taking these cornrows out every single day.
Right. Right.
You know, so I was like, what do people do? You know, so I learned at that time, I was like wearing clip, like I would put clip-ins in and like adjust my hair so that I could pull it out and like sweep it over. And then eventually I met the queen of wigs at Tina.
Gio.
Homegirl.
Oh no.
There are
multiple queens. Who's the queen?
People who just like make wigs look like they just slay them, you know? And I was like, I have to get one. And then I was like, oh, this is how people do it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want to go on a date. And I had never worn a wig around a guy and have their own thing about Black women, their own opinions about Black women's hair, you know? And so it's just all an adjustment, you know?
It's all an adjustment and trying on these different hats. Yes. Hats. LOL.
Totally.
But yeah, absolutely. I'm like, I miss Broadway. Even like talking about this, the good, the bad, the ugly, like all of it. I'm like, oh, remember. It's like, I remember thinking about that on the beautiful tour. Like, Destiny, this is gross, but like when I discovered wigs, I put a wig prep in and I was like, I'm in wig prep all the time. And I just stayed in wig prep for like a couple months.
Yes.
Like I didn't take it out. That's nasty. I'm like, people on tour had no idea what my natural hair looked like.
Oh my gosh, Alicia.
That's that nasty.
Hilarious.
Yeah. The hair person was like,
girl, just mat it.
You need to wash this. I was like, that means I gotta take my wig prep out.
Hilarious.
That's gross. That's gross. But anyway, okay, so I want to wrap this thing up. Thank you so much for coming out. Before I let you go, I want to ask you, what is one thing that's keeping you going and that you're grateful for?
Oh my gosh.
During this crazy time of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I have incredible community. My friends are like the bomb. And on top of that, through Tina, I have developed a bond with some of my castmates, and we meet regularly. We're part of one another's lives. And it just was, when that happens in a show, it is special, but, and it's rare, but going through the same thing with people and being close with them, it just helps. It helps so much. Last night we saw the news about the Met and how they're not opening back up until September. And I immediately called them and we just prayed together, you know? And I was like, this is so special because I'm not alone, you know? And knowing that I can immediately send a text and like, hey, y'all, did you see the news?
Yeah.
And somebody else is like, let's hop on the phone and pray because I don't want to go crazy, you know?
Right.
So I'm grateful for that. That's one thing that is keeping me together. What was the other question?
Just what you're grateful for. That was.
What I'm grateful for. So my micro grateful thing that I will have to share because I'm so proud is the new iPhone update that has home screen edits. So I'm obsessed with, right, this is my current obsession, is organizing my home screen to like help me to be more productive and go to the things that I need to go to and away from the things that I need to go away from.
Is Facebook and Instagram on your home screen?
You know, no. So I'm grateful for that in a micro way. And in a macro way, I'm just grateful that I have survived and that I'm still here and enjoying life. And we've been, we're in 7 months into this pandemic, so I'm grateful, you know.
Yeah. All right. I love that. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for joining us. I think you're the bomb, Destiny.
Likewise. And I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. I love you. Thank you for partying with me today.
Yay.
See you, girl.
Bye. Bye.
Y'all, when I think about Destiny, I literally get goosebumps all over my body. She is the real deal, a gift to this planet. I am not even exaggerating. Please give her some love. Give her a follow on Instagram at DestinyREA. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode. Love you, Colin. Shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. You guys are awesome. Thank you for producing this podcast. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing the theme song, Love COD, sung by yours truly. And shout out to all y'all for listening, you guys. Thank you so much for just supporting and subscribing, and continue to tell a friend, and also drop me a note, slip into my DMs at Salisha Thomas on Instagram, and let me know what you think or what you want to hear and or who you want to hear from. So much love for you. Ah, I'll see you next week. This is Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.